What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here with a new episode of Video Game Bang, bitch. You guessed it. We are back, and it is February 5th, 2015. And we have a special guest on this week's show that I am so honored to interview. His name is Roger Craig Smith, amazing voice actor. He's been in Disney films. He's Sonic the Hedgehog, Captain America, Batman, and most recently, he is the main character, Kyle Crane from Dying Light, which has phenomenal voice acting work. We're going to talk to him for the second half of the show, but before that, we have Aaron Carter on the show. He is the lovable teddy bear you've all come to know and love. Jada's on the show, and Eddie Villanueva joins us for the first time in 2015, going to talk about his year thus far. We're talking about Vegas. We're talking about Twitch. Aaron has some apologies he'd like to say, except he's probably not going to apologize because you guys know how he is. But the point of it all is to go follow us on Twitter, at Video Game Bang. Interact with us there, and maybe you'll get on the show. It's happened before. Crazier things have happened before. And always, we got the live shows on the weekends with Aaron Carter, Video Game Bang Live. Enjoy the show!
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang, your weekly source for all things video game, featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when the issue gets real. I don't get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong, the guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
What is up, pizzas? Corey Vincent here, and you know what's going on. This is the Video Game Bang brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And what I'm reacting to is being extremely giddy. I'm very excited. The blood is rushing to my face.
As long as it's not going anywhere else.
Oh, it's everywhere. Oh,
it's and unplug everything.
Yeah, that's our show, everybody.
Because we have a special guest, everybody. He is a big-time voice actor, although I don't think he'd agree with that. But he is an amazing dude. His name is Roger Craig Smith. Currently, he plays Kyle Crane in Dying Light, but he's played Batman before in Arkham Origins. He's been Captain America.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
The voice of Sonic.
Ezio.
The Auditory Firenze.
He is going to be joining us on the second half of the show. But first, the man whose sultry voice you always get to hear. He buys the armor, he equips it, and it's like Pink Thong. If we were dinosaurs, he'd be the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Aaron Carter.
Don't think so.
Big head and little arms?
Yeah, no. I just recently hit the Twitter up and saw that I was spied upon while I was focusing on something.
Wow.
It looks like a lonely corner picture if you guys
it does. We need to
that.
Decorate your corner.
That whole corner. Bit. I need a cubicle. Let's get some of those fake walls in here or something like that.
That'd you bring cool. it in. Fans, you heard it. We've gotten some awesome things from fans already. They send us things and we will adorn our walls.
If somebody send some fake cubicle walls.
don't send fake cubicle walls.
Send fake cubicle walls.
Don't, yeah, please don't
pull up
send
in front
fake
of the
cubicle
house.
Walls, but send something you want to see behind Aaron. Hashtag something behind Aaron. Hashtag bucket of cobras for some reason stuck out to me. Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah. We said that on a show, and now I've said it like an everyday speech.
Why?
Because I know people who will be like, oh, hashtag so-and-so, like annoying people like that. So I always go, hashtag bucket of cobras.
And they don't get it, do they?
They laugh, though.
Wow.
They laugh, though.
That's terrible.
If we were dinosaurs, he would be the Puerto Ricanio saber-toothed tiger, Eddie Villanueva.
I guess I'll take it.
Is that a dinosaur?
That's
terrible. I think we're So again, 0-2.
Why do we let him do these? Why do we let him do these every episode?
This is his shtick.
His shtick.
Yeah. Why are you not the Tyrannosaurus Rex?
I am nowhere near Tyrannosaurus Rex.
King of the jungle?
Walnut
that's,
brain.
That's not king of jungle.
what did you want to be?
I could see Aaron as a velociraptor, possibly.
Stegosaurus.
That's what I was going to go with.
Stegosaurus?
I was going to go to Stegosaurus or Brontosaurus.
I would definitely probably be one of the
The leaf eaters.
The leaf eaters.
Herbal, yeah, herbivores.
Triceratops.
An Herbalife what?
Maybe. No, they're, no.
You heard it here first. Stegosaurus, everybody. Aaron is selling Herbalife.
That was my...
There you go. That's what I heard.
That was one of my favorite dinosaurs. That's actually my favorite dinosaur.
The Stegosaurus.
The Stegosaurus.
All right, it tells us a lot about you.
There you go.
Jada joins us back on the program. If she was a dinosaur, she would be a Triceratops.
Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl, dang it,
yes,
that's the one I meant.
Look, you're done.
I meant
you're
that one. Done. In my head, I was thinking the flying one.
Wow. So you said...
Oh, goodness.
So you said
Corey.
What before? What was
Triceratops.
You said the flying one.
But he said, yeah.
The Triceratops, the one that flies with three horns.
With a P, you yes. know that, right?
Ah, it starts with a Ptera.
It starts with a Ptera.
Oh, okay.
Ptera. Hey, everybody.
What's been going on, Jada?
Not much.
Reading is hard, everybody.
Yes, reading is very hard.
That's spelling.
Been good. Just playing some Dying Light. Been training my Smash Amiibos.
Are we on that, that segment?
You know, he's asking what he's asking what's new. I'm just saying. What's up. I'm just saying.
I didn't know. I would have thrown in what I was playing.
Respect the damn show's format.
You know what? I'll talk about whatever I want to talk about.
You act like there's not a segment.
I'm only on this show every once in a while. I'll talk whatever I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And you cut me off anyways whenever it's what you're playing.
Dang.
True.
These GameStop people.
Hey, you know what?
Hey, we don't say that name on this show.
Wow.
Lots to talk about. Of course, Dying Light, we're going to be talking about a lot because we're reviewing that one for Nerd Reactor. But one thing I wanted to get off my chest is that Humble Bundle, though.
Mm. Which one?
The one that's out currently right now, the Star Wars one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron.
It looks nice. We'll be picking it up this weekend.
Are you going to do the dollar version? Or
no,
gonna...
I'm probably going to go full-blown and get everything. It's only freaking $12. Yeah. It's not bad for like how many games?
A lot.
I think I have almost
like
all of them.
Like you get a lot of games.
They throw the deep cuts in there.
I'm only getting it literally for two games though.
Let me guess. No, Aaron's style. He's
oh, that's right. Yeah,
although I think you would enjoy it. I think you're buying it for Battlefront.
That's one. Battlefront 2,
And
Republic Commando.
No. Jedi Academy.
Jedi Academy.
I know my brother.
And I also told him that. I told you I'm only getting it for Jedi Academy. Whenever you're like, did you check out the Humble Bundle? I was like, yeah, I'm only getting it for that one.
Oh. Well, I just know you like that game.
I love that game. It was one of the first PC games for me to play.
Puzzles challenging. The game, basically, $12 gets you both of the Force Unleashed. Like 11:30 will get you. What was it?
KOTOR 2. Knights of the Republic, which I probably
Republic Commando. Republic Commando
and Battlefront 2.
What is that other one? The Star Wars
Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy,
and Dark Forces.
Dark
right?
Forces.
Oh,
that's the
Dark
one
Forces
I was
like
I never
Star
to
Wars
that.
Doom, pretty much, wasn't mm-hmm. it? It was like old school.
Even the cover looked like it too.
Not a good thing.
What's wrong with that?
Doom?
Yeah.
Playing old school Doom, but set in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah. Aaron, you have something to answer for. Fans of the show who listen to every single episode religiously and love to get their two video game bangs a week were stifled this week as they did not get a recorded version of the Weekend Bang on the SoundCloud via RSS feed on iTunes and SoundCloud and the Zune Marketplace.
If they are dedicated fans, that means they follow our Twitter, correct? If they are also dedicated fans, they follow our Facebook.
Maybe they don't have Twitter.
Maybe they don't have internet.
How do they have SoundCloud?
Which is a plug for those who don't know, at Video Game Bang.
How do they not have SoundCloud? Is somebody just like...
There's people peddling it on the streets.
Wow.
You know the guy who was on his bike with the speakers going around? He was bumping Video Game Bang the other day.
Mostly in Walmart parking lots.
Then they would know that we did a live show that was actually rather successful. And it was like one giant Q&A section with me and Steven for a good... 5 hours.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was crazy. We had gameplay going on. We had a little viewer challenging where they actually challenged Adam to some games there.
Of League?
No, he played them in Hearthstone.
Oh.
And he did crush, like, terribly. He crushed
them.
Really?
Yes.
Crush.
Wow.
But it was fun. It was all fun. There were some ups, some downs. We got some new listeners. We got some new followers.
I was in Vegas at the time, and I can tell you straight up, Vegas is not what I expected.
Did you go to White Castle?
What were you expecting from Vegas? That's the first question.
Robert De Niro.
You know...
He said a lot of Christian churches.
A lot of churches?
Yeah, no. I don't know what Vegas you were expecting.
Nuns then. Walking around?
Yeah, no.
Did somebody offer you some juicy water?
I got offered quite a few things. And probably the most disturbing thing is the creepy, fresh-off-the-boat Latino people.
Wow.
Who just wear...
Wow.
They just wear, like... No, they're
Villanueva, you should...
He's Puerto Rican. He doesn't count.
What do you mean? You said Latin people, right?
Oh, really? Did I use a blanket term? I meant Mexicans.
There you go. Okay.
Wow.
Then it's okay.
Well, first of all, he's in California, so he is Mexican.
Pretty much. According to everybody's grandma and grandpa, he's
Mexican.
That's
how it goes.
Yeah.
No, they're trying to hand you, like, trading cards for prostitutes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
They're not prostitutes. Not all of them are prostitutes.
They're private dancers.
Some of them are also private. Yes, some of them are also. They used, oh, my God, who did they use? Because
is Aaron speaking from experience?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. They had, a friend of mine just came back and he brought all those cards. And I looked at the picture and I was like, that's like a celebrity that they're using on here.
Oh, no way, really?
And I Google searched the model's name and I was like, look, that's the exact same picture. But the name on the little card was something different. It was like Jennifer or something like that. And I was like, hey, that's not, no, this is,
scandalous.
I wonder if they can get in trouble for that. Like,
they well, they're handing out pictures of naked girls. They should... I guess Vegas is the only place where that's kosher.
Yeah. Kosher. Wow.
I saw Kiss wearing just thongs.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I saw the creepiest like mascot looking people ever. There was like 12 Olafs.
What?
Yeah, there's a bunch of Olafs. A Hello Kitty with a hole in the mouth for some reason.
Furry people.
Yeah, like those.
They're the like street performers, basically, type thing, trying to get donations and stuff by just wearing those character costumes. I see all the different ones whenever I go to Vegas. I go almost every year.
I just saw the porn peddlers.
Yeah.
They had backpacks, and they were hustling.
I saw the hobo's penis.
Yeah, you definitely were in a different part of Vegas than I was.
I didn't have to say it this show.
Penis.
There it is.
Well, we were walking down. We wanted to see the giant fountains by the Bellagio.
Well, you saw it all right.
Yeah, you saw the giant.
We saw the mini fountain right there too.
Giant.
Hey,
hobo
boy,
fountain.
You want to see a fountain?
There's like this homeless guy, and you know, my friend Kyle looks over and he's like, "Whoa, did you see what that guy was doing?" And I was like, "No." So of course I had to look because he didn't give me no warning. He didn't say, "Look, there's a penis." He just said, "Do you see what that guy's doing?"
Good job, Kyle.
I see him, and I'm like, what? I don't see anything. Oh, that's a penis.
But what was he, like, doing?
He was peeing into the fountain.
Oh, okay.
There's
it's
a
for
giant
good luck.
Fountain show going. Is there that
you
good
go.
Luck?
Yeah, didn't you know that?
Did they really say that somewhere?
Well, you know, hey, it's better rather in there than actually on the streets where you step on it.
It is.
I guess. So thank you, hobo.
There you go.
For peeing into that.
He's probably listening. You're welcome.
That was for
Where's
you,
my
Corey?
Weekend video game bang?
Like, I'll see you soon. I got your ID.
But all that to say, I was in Vegas having a good old time, and then my phone keeps vibrating off the hook because you guys kept getting followers, and I had to turn off the damn notifications.
Hey, we reel them in. That's
you
what
reel
we do.
Them in. Yeah. And you even got a, like, what was it? Bombed? Is there a term for it?
For the little bum rush of racism? Is that what it is? The Ku Klux Klan members just
bum
came
rush
in
of
and.
Racism.
Well, because that's what it was. I was like, I didn't know the Klan members were on Twitch. I said that. And they were just, you know, just a group of guys or girls, whatever they are. You don't want to leave anybody out.
Yeah. #Gamergate.
And they just came in and they were just saying a whole bunch of, you know, offensive and racist jokes. And they're like blind racism because. Steven was like, I'm Jewish. And then they just went into Jewish jokes. And it's just like, what? He's not Jewish at all. Look at
this guy.
And they didn't care. They were like, everybody's going
to
get
his last
it.
Name is Gutierrez.
And then as soon as they came in, they were gone.
Gutierrezberg.
They were out. But it was good. Steven got a new nickname.
Steven?
Yeah, Steven. That's all they kept calling.
Oh, damn. Oh, jeez. My heart dropped. That's nerve-wracking. I hate when that happens. We were just talking about something very interesting, but Aaron got cut off unbeknownst to myself. I would have let you finish, but
wow.
By the bylaws of Video Game Bang, we must play What You Playing Now. What You Playing is, of course, the game we play once a week.
Once a week, yes.
We go around Robin.
We do this regularly every day. The music plays randomly.
We've been keeping score of what you guys have all been playing.
I'm winning.
You're actually in last.
And
so we'll reveal the scores of who won on our very last show.
I don't even know what the scoring.
There's a certain formula and rubric I crafted. in an Excel spreadsheet.
Like names in a hat and pulling it all at once.
No, no.
Like if you're playing Minecraft on a console, you lose like 20 points.
No, that's actually a positive 1,000 points.
For playing it on a console?
You suck at this game,
I thought you were all pro PC for your Minecraft.
You know, what my preferences are don't affect the game.
Wow.
That's how straight up I am. Speaking of straight up, let's talk to Eddie Villanueva. What you been playing?
I actually been on Duels of the Planeswalkers 2015.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've been stuck on that for a little bit just because Fates Reforged came out for the new set for Magic. So,
and you have been a machine. You've bought like two booster boxes that I know of.
I got one on pre-release for a pretty good price. I got a lot of good Planeswalker cards out of it. And I'm picking up a second booster, third booster box this weekend.
Wow. Yeah. Why do you need that many cards? Like, I love Magic. I'm a huge fan.
I'm not keeping them all. I'm getting what I need, and I'm passing them on.
Okay.
I'm not less fortunate or something?
Exactly.
Yeah. You go to the homeless shelters?
People who are still, you know, hey, here, use this. It'll keep you warm. Yeah, eat it.
Bum with the penis.
That bum. Yeah. Wow. Here, you can wipe your penis with it. There you go.
Yeah, that's just way too many cards, man. I quit buying cards. Actually,
it was a good sale. I mean, I have to admit, I mean, for $125 booster box, I got it for $60.
Okay,
brand new. Okay, so it's a brand new one. So all right.
And
I'm not gonna pay regular price for it.
I look forward to playing you in Magic again because you've been playing Duels of the Planeswalkers, and you were atrocious with the rules, sir.
Oh, wow, yes.
He was atrocious.
No lie.
And that's what I recommended Duels to him. Mm-hmm. I was like, dude, this is how I learned the rules. This is how David learned the rules. This is how you learned the rules.
Yeah.
And now he's on it. All right.
Okay.
Moving on to Jade Arena.
Already said earlier, but Smash Brothers.
All right, Aaron
Sweet.
Carter.
Yeah. See, always cut off.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Continue.
Smash Brothers and Dying Light, really. I've been playing, trying to only go out at nighttime for Dying Light.
You're crazy.
Oh, I love it.
It gives me so much anxiety.
Oh, I love it. I found a great way to level up, though, because basically what I do is just I get a bunch of zombies to chase me until I run to traps, and then I kick them onto the traps for the double EXP at nighttime. So I level up really fast. So... Exploits.
So. All right, Aaron Carter.
I am currently playing.
I know. Okay.
Called efficiency.
This is the respect that I get. Hold on. Let's talk to the fish. The fish.
Let's talk to the fish.
Yeah, that's what I call the listeners.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, fish.
Are they fish fans?
I thought they were pizzas.
Most of them.
He doesn't know anymore.
Everybody just shut up.
He doesn't know anymore.
When I am on the weekend bang. I give Aaron my full
shut the lying self up right there.
I do backflips for this man.
That's
during
a
the
lie.
Show.
I would like to see one of these.
I would. Yeah, I'm waiting. And now that we do live shows, everybody every weekend, you can see him do backflips as well.
I'm doing my best.
Schedule me for this weekend.
I'm telling you,
no joke.
I'm a single mother.
Everybody wants to see that.
I want to see this.
What is your point in all of this?
And you're just playing video games.
We are the Video Game Bang, everybody, where we...
What is this?
...do play video games. So let me get back to what I am playing.
It's called What You Playing, like, past tense.
I played it earlier today. I've been hooked on this game.
What
this
is
game
it?
Is called... Give me a second.
Oh, wow.
Crossy Road. Go download it right now
are
for
you
the
kidding?
Android.
I've been playing that, too.
Exactly. Crossy Road is amazing.
Yeah, it's like Frogger.
It's just Frogger.
I was going to say, it looks like Frogger from the
That's
reflection.
That's all that. It is. But for some reason, it is like the most addictive game I've played in a long time. And I've unlocked so many characters. And it's just, I don't know. I don't understand. It's like, I don't... You don't do anything but cross roads.
We're going back to simpler times in gaming.
Mm-hmm. We are, because the other game that I'm playing is The Escapist.
Mm. Oh, you're nice. Reviewing that one.
Yes, I'm reviewing that one for Nerd Reactor, and I like it. I like it a lot.
Is that the one with the prison?
Yeah.
It's like an 8-bit top-down.
Yeah, yeah, you're supposed to escape different prisons. I'm just on the minimum security, and I'm, like, freaking stuck.
Isn't it just one prison?
I don't think so, no. I think I'm going to be...
Multiple?
I think it's going to be... Either the prison is going to get upgraded later, or...
Oh, wow.
I don't know, but the thing... I was telling a coworker about the game, and there's like a crap load of stuff you can do in this game. It's like Prison Break, literally.
Right. You
like,
can craft.
You will love
the
yeah. Like it is like your
can you be
Schofield. You can name somebody teabag if you want to.
Oh,
you can
really?
Name all the inmates and all the guards and stuff.
Oh my gosh!
And each of them. So like you guys are all in the game. And
did you make us in the game?
Yeah. Well, I made you, Steven, Jerry, because I'm in minimum, so there's not that many people in there. I think I made just you, Steven, Jerry, Gondo, Dominique, and... Because I think there's only six. And then Adam, because he was on Skype with me.
We're not important.
No, you guys, it's okay. I don't want to be in prison.
Don't drop the soap.
And
they can enjoy all that. It'll be like it'll be like in prison.
You'll be like, hey, I got a mission for you. Mm. You know, Jerry stole my comb. I need you to go.
I need you to go beat him up. Your Black Panther comb.
And so,
is there race wars?
What the? No, it's just race wars. Terrible.
It's like blood in, blood out. Yeah. I took my comb.
But it's cool because it's like, so I was streaming just a little bit of it. And you go, there's like, you know, there's a schedule for inmates, just like in, you know, real life.
I want to watch you play this.
And so when I started to play, I was just doing the schedule. So literally for an hour, I was just a damn inmate. Like just, I would wake up, go to roll call, go to breakfast, go to, you know, the free time, go to my job, go work out, shower, go to roll call or lunch, go to free time again. And so I was doing that the whole time. And then somebody in chat was like, you know, you don't have to go to every scheduled thing. And I was like, oh. So then I was just a prisoner.
What are they going to do, put you in jail?
No, unless you're supposed to be at your job.
Yeah, unless you're supposed to be at certain stuff.
But there
are
times where you can actually get unemployed. You can get kicked off the job.
Oh, I already did, like right off the bat. Because I didn't know how to wash clothes. I didn't know how to wash clothes. So they fired me from the freaking job. But
real life comparison.
And then you have to gain knowledge with by getting on the internet. Yep. You get strength by working out.
How do
you know about all this?
I've played it.
Yeah.
Oh, you played it?
Yeah, the game is, I think, like the alpha or whatever. The beta was out early. Oh, so this is going to be like the full release. That's what I'm doing the review on, like the full blown. Because it comes out on, I want to say, or we have to reserve our reviews, our actual reviews for the 9th.
Oh, it's embargoed?
Yeah. So
but you can stream.
I can stream and I can do videos, it said.
Sweet.
I just can't really review the game. So I'm just telling, you know, that's why I'm just telling you what's in the game. But when I was telling it to a coworker, he was like, so what's the graphics look like? And I was like, well, it's, you know, it's top down, like old school. 8-bit. And then I showed him on the computer, like Google. And he's like, oh, that's still awesome. He's like, but I could see it like a like how Grand Theft Auto went from top down to Grand Theft Auto 3. Then you got this full fleshed out world type of thing. And then it getting better. Like if they they went that route.
Can you shiv, like kill people?
Oh yeah,
I haven't seen anybody kill anybody. Yeah, I haven't seen anybody.
You just beat people up, and then, or you get beaten up, and you wake up in the infirmary.
Dominique Can you please Downs, have me beat somebody up with some batteries?
Dominique Downs keeps getting beat up in every single fight. I swear.
Can you set their personalities?
No, it's all.
It just happened to be like real Dominique.
Random. Like in That's the tutorial, awesome. you beat down.
Dominique keeps getting beat up. That's
in
funny.
The tutorial, you beat down a police or a security guard with a soap in a sock.
Yep, that's a weapon.
And then you steal his outfit, and then. Yeah, it's awesome.
So I'm trying to figure out how to get out the minimum security right now. I thought maybe, you know, since I'm in laundry, I'll take the uniform and then do that. But I forgot that I had it on me in my inventory, and the officer was like, "What do you do that? You know, what are you doing with that on you?" And then he beat me up, and I was wake up in the infirmary with no item. Gone. Yeah, no items on me.
And then they do random bed checks in the morning and the evening time. So if they call your name at roll and saying that they're going to do your bed check,
they'll go in there and check. Wow. Yeah, it's very in depth. So
the goal is to escape.
Yeah. So I'll be streaming that.
You said tomorrow, right?
Thursday. Yeah. So tomorrow and or Friday,
today,
hardcore.
If you're listening to this on the first
day. I'll be streaming it as much as I can. So like around like noon or whatever on Thursday or today. Or
oh man, I'm excited for it.
It looks good. It's going to be good.
I have been playing.
Oh, what are you playing, Corey?
Oh, thanks for asking.
Terrible.
Oh,
I forgot one that I was playing.
Nobody cares. Oh. I've been playing Dying Light. Dying Light was provided to us. I was skeptical at first.
Skeptical.
I was very skeptical at first, mainly because there was the whole. They said at the beginning, "There's going to be no embargoes on this game. We're just going to want everybody to have full transparency." But they didn't release the games even to IGN until the day before.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So I was like, oh, what are you guys trying to hide? Start playing the game. It's actually a really fun game.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, what they were trying to hide. A fun game.
You know, and they shouldn't have been ashamed. I haven't even ran into huge major glitches yet. I mean, I guess there's a few exploits for unlimited money floating around the internet. They patched it already?
Patched already.
That's good.
There's stuff like that. I've been trying to stay away from other reviews or other tutorials just so I can experience the game full-fledged.
That's what I've been doing with the Escapist, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it, because then other stuff starts to influence you.
Mm-hmm.
But the game is really fun. It's like, it takes the recipe from Dead Island, makes the game harder, Items don't last near as long. They're more scarce than they were before.
Mm.
Well, like in Dead Island, in the first level, you could find like a sledgehammer on the beach.
Okay, yeah, those more rare weapons. I mean, there's weapons everywhere. I'm usually full bag when I'm playing.
Like, yeah, I've learned to just start picking things up.
Yeah, I'm constantly have pipes and wooden planks.
But they're ineffective. They're not like near as effective as they were in Dead Island.
I throw them.
You throw them?
Did you put that perk in yet?
I don't think so.
Buy the perk to where you can throw your equipped weapon, and if you hit like the head, it's almost like a one-shot kill almost every time.
Really?
It does some, or it stuns them so you can run up and then one-shot them
afterwards.
I've
got ninja stars.
Oh, that was my first thing I've been crafting.
Yeah.
I'm running around just ninja starring all left and right.
Yeah.
It's the best addition to a zombie game.
Yeah, ninja stars definitely need to be in every zombie game from this point out.
For sure.
Storyline is kind of predictable. I'm feeling so.
There's zombies.
Yeah, there's zombies. I mean, I felt like after the first cutscene, I knew exactly what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just about halfway through, I think. So there could be a huge major plot twist, but I've just about called everything so far.
They weren't zombies the whole time.
Nope.
They're Teletubbies.
Yeah.
I like the way the story's told, though. It's done well, even if it is a little predictable. And then, you know, some of the voice work is done really well. There's a couple points where it's just like, wow, I actually really feel sorry for this situation. Like, I really got it. You know, I really felt what the character was feeling. So
it's totally linear. Mm.
Sound good.
I mean, there's side quests and stuff, but the storyline is the storyline. There's no, I haven't come across any options to change anything because there's things in the storyline that, a certain organization asks you to do, where I'm like, there's no freaking way I would have just done that.
Yeah.
But your character does it, and then you're like, oh, that shit, that sucks. Like, there should have been an option sequence. So it's a complete linear storyline with side quests that you can kind of do in whatever order you want.
Gotcha.
And I have not been able to try the multiplayer yet because we cannot get on the same
schedules. Yeah. I was in the Bay all weekend. Or all week. I've been on vacation this week, so I went down to the Bay, seen the family.
Have you been able to notice any effect of that exoskeleton, the x-ray vision thing yet?
Oh, are you talking about like when they get stunned and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically when you see that skeleton pop up, it means the enemy's stunned. So that means they're easier to kill at that point.
I was expecting more from it.
Yeah, it's not as big of an impact.
Yeah, as elaborate as when they discussed it.
But it works. You know, it gives you it's a cue basically saying, hey, the zombie is stunned. You can go up and finish it now. And then once you get different skills in your skill tree, you'll be able to actually capitalize better off of the stuns.
Okay,
so
good.
So there's different skills you have to get.
I think the recovery rate of those zombies is too fast. Like, those are the fastest get-up zombies I've ever seen. Like, knock them down. Remember in, like, Dead Island, when you knock them down, it take them a second to get up, and you can grab your bearings and kick the shit out of them. In this one, every one just pops right back up.
They swarm you. I like the AI they did, though, because they swarm you pretty well from different directions. Like, if you're sitting there fighting, like, a group, like, early on, I was just beating things with a wooden plank and not doing any damage, and I would constantly get surrounded by a bunch, and I'd have to sprint and run.
It's not Dead Island.
Yeah, it's not one of those zombie games where you can just sit there and just fight for days. You have to keep moving.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Sunset Overdrive where the floor is lava. You want to keep moving and stay off the ground as much as possible.
I'm trying to think of all the games that came out this year, and there's not many because we're only in February, but I think it is so far my favorite game.
That's pretty good. I'm one of the ones I forgot to. I just did a review for Life is Strange. Their episodic game that's coming out. It's kind of like the Telltale, but you have the ability to rewind time.
Okay.
And really well done. Really just. I like the story. I thought it was very organic. I gave it a really good score. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Oh, wow. Is it up? Has it been posted?
Yeah, should be posted.
NerdReactor.com. Bitches, go there and read the review. And we got a huge interview coming up after this break, so we're going to jump into a couple Bang Bites while we got the time. We'll jump into the big.
We got a story. You want to just do that?
You want to do the story? I don't know. This is a story. We'll jump to that in a second. Let's cover this real quick. All feminine league tournament only allows one LGBT player per team because reasons.
They think
apparently your sexuality affects how fast you can point and click.
Apparently. They think it's going to be an unfair advantage.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's...
That's awful.
There shouldn't be a girls' league in the first place.
Just to, for some disclaimers, this is in the Philippines.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, this is in the Philippines. Yes.
Not in the States. League and Riot have already, you know, tweeted that they accept all, you know, people of all... gender, sexualities, whatever. For
until the aliens come down, and then they're like, nope.
Then that's going to be unfair advantage.
Should there ever be a reason to segregate men and women in competitive gaming?
No.
No.
I don't think there needs to be the segregation, but it is also nice to have at times. There's nice to have those specific kind of tournaments.
But then even then, you get the people who, you know, do the comparison between gamer guys and gamer girls.
And yeah.
And ultimately, I mean, honestly, we're all just gamers.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't think it should, you know, at any time, even, I mean, you're obviously, the last Christmas party we had, you smashed on Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You're a girl. Yeah. And I can honestly say she whooped my ass, like, several times over. So to say that, you know, she's better than me is perfectly fine. You know, so knowing that, you know what, all levels are just all over the place, you know, as far as some girls are great, some girls aren't, some guys are great, some guys aren't. I don't think it should have to be separated to really test the levels of where we are at.
Yeah, I don't. That's because video games should be the ultimate even playing ground.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like it's football or something like that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Like, there's big debates about, like, mixed martial arts, too, like men fighting women and the LGBT thing in there, but it's different because you're punching each other in the freaking face.
And your bone density and your...
Bone density difference and all this other stuff. Chemicals and whatever in your body, but this is ridiculous.
Women shoot chemicals out of their hands.
Get your stuff together, Philippines.
Silva just shoots chemicals in himself, apparently.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Can you believe how disappointing that was for me? I went to the fights.
And you saw two
drug addicts fighting each other. But honestly, with Nick Diaz, I knew it was coming.
Wow.
He's failed two other times for marijuana.
So what is the consequence?
I think it'll get ruled a no contest, and they'll both lose a whole bunch of money and not be able to fight for a long time.
Until the drug's out of them systems?
No, longer. Yeah, it'll be like 2 years before you see either of those guys in a cage again. It's unfortunate. Yeah. But
c'est la vie.
Talking about something that is fortunate is that after the break, we have Roger Craig Smith, and he's going to be on the show, and we're going to be grilling him about voice acting and Dying Light and all sorts of other things. So stick around for more Video Game Bang after the break.
Hey man, I'm Kevin Smith.
Jason Mewes.
And you're listening to the Video Game Bang, which sounds a lot dirtier than it is.
Hello, Super Aaron. Hello, Princess Cory. It's a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia. You guys, number one. Woohoo!
This is Janice Davis, author of Holder's Dominion. And you're listening to Video Game Bang with superstar, incredibly charming hosts.
Hi, this is Yaya Han, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hey guys, I'm Ashley Birch, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hi, this is Amber Goldfarb, the voice of Aveline de Grandpré, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hey, hier ist Boris Seicho bei Video Game Bang, und ich bin der Komponist von Sunset Overdrive, das jetzt auf Xbox One erhältlich ist.
All right, welcome back to Video Game Bang, and as we have promised you, we have the guest to end all guests. We're very excited to have him. You may know him as the voice of Sonic from the Sonic Boom series. You may know him as Chris Redfield from some of the more recent Resident Evils, and he is here on this very podcast with us, Mr. Roger Craig Smith. Welcome to the show.
How are you? The guest to end all guests is... In other words, after I'm on, the ratings for your show are going to plummet.
That's the grand idea here.
No more guests after that.
No more guests. Well, we can't do any guests, actually, after this one. Mainly because you've played Batman.
Which is the best role ever.
That doesn't get old hearing that.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, usually whenever someone has played Batman, it means you've made it. What was that like, getting that role? Did you have to audition for that one, or did they come to you?
No, you know, I auditioned for that for sure. The boring story is just that it was like any other project. I got a call, go in to audition for something. I wasn't even really sure what it was that I was going in for at the time, because they're kind of cryptic with some of the lines that they'll have you audition for. And so I just went in, and I think after, you know, maybe a few minutes in the booth, it started to kind of dawn on me, like, this sounds superhero-ish. You know, it was like, it seems like it's, you know, it's something significant. And then, of course, by the time we went to the callback, at that point, it was like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is what, you know, what you're up for. And you try to do your best to just not really think about it and just listen intently as to what they want, you know, from the character, and hope that you just go in and deliver the, you know, the best job that you can. But it was, you know, a very, very straightforward, just sort of typical situation of just a standard audition. And then, of course, getting the news is just, at that point, you're beside yourself.
So that was more of like a, I guess you would say an American project, because I see on your resume you've done like anime as well.
I'm having difficulty hearing.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie?
That's Aaron, yeah.
Aaron, he said,
I'm having a hard time hearing you, sorry.
He said you've done a lot of work on, that was obviously, you know, an American westernized project, yeah. But you've also done a lot of anime.
Do you approach them differently?
Do you approach it differently? What's different between working on the Eastern stuff versus the Western?
You know what? I mean, really and truly, not much. Except, when you're talking about doing anime, the difficulty that you have is just the lines have already been pre-recorded with another actor, and so you have time constraints associated with the actual recording process. But for the most part, a performance is a performance. So you try not to push it in a different direction, but obviously too, there's a style to anime that you kind of have to fall into. I mean, most Western animation, I always laugh. It's like you don't really react to everything over and over and over again in the way that like a lot of anime does. Where you know, if somebody walks into the room, another character goes, "Huh?" You know, it's like all those little emotion, you know, emotes and all that kind of stuff that we don't typically do in like a Western, performance. But that probably is where it sort of, those are probably only the major differences. I mean, the reality is, for the most part, a performance is a performance. So, you know, I try not to think of it too differently in terms of East versus West, anything like that. It's just, no, this is what, this is the character to portray, and therefore that's what we're gonna do.
That's awesome. Roger, this is Eddie, actually. You were talking to Aaron a little bit ago. Can you hear me well?
Yeah. I can hear you a little bit better now. Sorry.
So what got you started in this? What was your main inspiration, you know, when you decided to become a voice actor? Because obviously there's a lot that goes into becoming one, and so what pretty much just drew you to actually doing this kind of stuff for a living?
Well, you know what? I got my start. I was doing a lot of stand-up comedy sort of before, during, and after college. And on the advice of of my old high school theater arts instructor, she had said, essentially when I first started thinking, you know, I'm going to give this stand-up comedy thing a shot. I was probably early to mid-20s and was thinking, you know, I don't know if I'm going to, what I want to do with this. And called up my old high school theater arts instructor, and I knew she would give it to me straight. So I just said, hey, you know, can I come by the old high school some afternoon when school lets out, and I'm just going to run some material by you. And went into the little theater after school had let out and kind of performed some stand-up for just literally one woman. And got down, and she said, you know, hey, do you want me to be honest or do you want me to be nice? And I said, I'm here because I want you to be honest. And she said, well, you know, you're just doing basic observational stand-up, and you have a bunch of characters and voices that you were always doing in the plays in high school, and you're a character guy. You like creating a little cast of weird characters in your head. And she said, so instead of just observationally discussing and talking about, you know, certain things, why not become the character that you want us to laugh at? And then it's like the audience gets to laugh along with you as you're in this character. And I thought, oh, that's an interesting idea. So started doing character voices in my comedy act, and was doing different things like hosting and doing MC jobs and that kind of thing for, you know, little private events, and then obviously doing stand-up at different clubs. And more and more I started hearing people in the industry just ask about me doing voiceover and saying, hey, have you ever looked at that, or have you ever thought about that? And so pretty soon it just, you keep hearing people, you know, suggest that. And it's something that I had never really even considered. And then finally I just said, all right, well, more people are telling me that I should look into that than they're. I'm not getting that many people saying, like, man, when's your next brilliant stand-up comedy gig? I can't wait to see that. It's more people going, hey, you should look into voiceover.
Yeah.
And so I did. I took some classes, and pretty soon like, it was something that, like, a whole new world opened up for me. And all of a sudden I had discovered that I really, really, really enjoyed the voice acting side of things, because it just incorporated so many things that I had been doing. The stand-up comedy, the old theater work that I'd done, and screenwriting was my major in college, and it kind of blended all of those things together and felt really fun and comfortable, and then something that I was able to kind of start getting some headway in. It was great.
You've been at the top of the voice acting game, or, you know, the top or the upper echelon for a while now, years. So what are some ways you've noticed the industry changing, specifically in video game voice acting?
You know, just in the way that it's like, I think that really falls, even in your question, I would say to think of me being in the upper echelon of voice acting is to me, ridiculous. I don't think I'm even remotely close to that, because there's so many guys so many guys and gals, I'm using that term collectively, but that have come along before me that I get a chance to every now and then meet and work with, that I'm just in awe of. And to me, they are the people who are, you know, they're the ones that are that are in the upper echelon. But in terms of the way the industry is changing, I would say, obviously when I first started out, we were still doing demo CDs, which I guess now is just a complete, there's no such thing as a demo CD. You probably have to get your own little website and have an MP3 file,
yeah.
You know, that you would mail out to people, email out to people, I should say. And so I think technology is really what's changing, that's driving the industry, and the notion that more and more people are able to work from home, that you can have a decent sounding, you know, audio setup in your house, without a tremendous amount of, you know, sort of retrofitting the environment all that much. But really and truly, from a performance standpoint, nothing. I don't see any major changes, except for the fact that now voice actors, who have always been actors, it's one of our favorite questions is when somebody says, hey, have you ever thought about doing any real acting?
wow.
Yeah, you know, because the reality is that's what most of us are. I mean, if you're talking about an animation individual, if somebody is doing animation, they're acting. And I would even argue that people who are doing promo work and, you know, retail work, you know, you act like you're really excited about, you know, about that cheese flavored snack that you're helping someone sell. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You're acting like you're super enthusiastic about that. So it's all the same in terms of performance, but the technology is kind of driving things. So voice actors now might be doing more motion capture and, you know, full performance capture, where the aesthetic of the actor is being incorporated into the character. You know, so they're using the facial technology to kind of see, you know, what this person actually looks like becomes what the character looks like within, you know, certain little tweaks and things here and there. But that's a little different. But really and truly, that actor now might have to hit a mark, and that voice actor, if that's all they were prior, might now have to memorize lines instead of just reading a script. But the performance is always going to essentially be the same. It might involve more movement now, but it's still going to be a performance. And I look at it like, you know, the voiceover performance that we give behind a VO mic really doesn't differ all that much from an on-camera thing, except for the fact that we have to try to convey the entirety of the performance using just our vocal cords, and trying to contain the physicality so that you don't make too much noise to blow the take.
Before we talk about Kyle Crane and Dying Light, I got one more question. I'd love to ask the voice actors that we've talked to, because we've talked to some other voice actors, and they always have a different answer. So basically, the scenario is Aaron and I have been doing the podcast for, you know, 2 years, and we get to talk to a lot of awesome voice actors. We both casually have an interest in wanting to do some voice acting work. You know, we've never taken a serious plunge, but Aaron has this nice, deep, sultry soul voice, and I have like a pipsqueak, typical white guy voice. Does he have a huge advantage over me, or is it natural? How much of it is learned, and how much of it is natural?
You know what? I was fortunate enough to take Bob Bergen, who's been the voice of Porky the Pig, as well as he's just a huge name in voiceover. one of the upper echelon guys, in my opinion.
He's actually on that.
Took his animation voice acting class, and he, I don't know if it was an original thing that he came up with, but he had given this ratio of it's 95% character and 5% voice. It might have been 90-10, 95-5, but the reality of where everything is going now is that, no, I mean, it's fine. A lot of people think of voiceover and they think you have to have like these big, you know, Barry White pipes kind of thing, but that's
just like that's Aaron over here. Yeah.
Niche. That's one little niche of the industry. And you know, even the great, you know, Don LaFontaine had incredible pipes, but that was sort of what he did, was stay in that vein as far as that sort of sound. And so anybody who wanted to do what he did with it in the world, it's like, look, it's covered. He's got that. But what do you bring? So the reality is everybody has an individual sort of gift or contribution to something. And whether or not they've got an incredible sounding distinctive voice doesn't matter anywhere near as much as what can you do with it? How do you perform? How can you act? And what sort of genuine quality can you bring to this that no one else can? Yeah, someone else might sound like you, but the reality is you bring something inherently unique to it, hopefully, because you are who you are. And the hope being that your performance choices, the things that make you who you are as an individual kind of, you know, sneak into the character, and all of that will result in a unique performance that it doesn't matter if one of your co-hosts has what you think to be a better sounding voice.
Yeah.
If the performance is there, that's what matters in the end.
Suck it, Aaron.
That's a one up for Corey.
Still a one down.
I'm not
for
trying
you.
To take sides here or anything like
Roger
that.
Roger Craig Smith said I'm better than you, Aaron.
No,
there
he didn't.
You go.
He said it's all about the performer, and we all know I'm a better performer.
Wow. It's not what your mother said.
Wow. Why would I? That's gross.
Roger, so I want to talk about a little bit Dying Light. I'm working on the review
going from
for
Aaron's
it.
Mom to yeah. Dying Light. There we go.
Yeah, they got more in common than you think.
Terrible.
Too funny.
What do you think makes Kyle Crane unique?
You know what? Kind of one of the things we were just talking about right now, which is that I don't think he's like the stereotypical hero character in the fact that, like, you know, he doesn't have all the answers right off the bat, and he's not a superhuman character. I mean, arguably, some of the as you level up on the skill tree, maybe some of the parkour gets to superhuman feats. But the reality is, I found him to be kind of just a normal guy. And I've seen some, you know, some reviewers even talking about he's sort of unremarkable in some ways as a protagonist, which is kind of, I think, what the director and I kind of wanted to sort of convey, that this guy, you know, I'm trying not to spoil anything. He sort of gets dropped in into a situation where I think he's got sort of a preconceived notion as to what is going to be involved there, and he's sort of kind of playing a few different sides, if you will, trying to be sort of skirting a lot of spoilers.
Yeah.
But I think as time progresses, he kind of figures out and learns a few things that kind of have him going, wait a minute, this isn't exactly what I thought it was. And as a result, it's sort of like he's having to try to figure things out for himself on the fly. And typically you don't have, you know, a superhero character, you know, typically they don't have them be that sort of fallible. And, I think he's just a regular, you know, a regular dude, who's got a certain set of skills, and he's been put into the situation, and he's sort of reacting as he goes, which is fun to get to do. Sometimes, you know, it's already set up to where the protagonist knows what their objective is, what they're supposed to do, and how they're supposed to behave, and they never falter from, you know, this heroic delivery, or, you know, they've always got a right answer. And Kyle Crane's not that guy at all. I think he, you know, that's why there's moments of almost kind of levity and little funny bits that happen with him where he's reacting sort of honestly to a situation that maybe he didn't see happening, or you know, kind of little bits of snark and little bits of kind of surprise, and just honest moments get to happen with a character like Kyle Crane.
Yeah, I've noticed a few of those. There's been a few of those moments that are like, they seem like unintentionally funny just because the reaction to the situation rather than it was written to be a comedy. And sometimes that's the best right there. One thing I was going to mention, I'm about 50% through with the story, and there's definitely, now that I didn't even think about it until you mentioned it, the way the character starts off to where he's at now with the directions he's being pulled, there is definitely a different internal struggle, and the character does evolve over time, and that's pretty awesome. And to that point, I noticed that a lot of the scenarios you had to be, a lot of the Kyle Crane dialogue goes, walk up to somebody, ask for something, they say no, and then you bully them into giving them, or into them giving you what you want. Was that different for you, or did you find that getting repetitive?
You know what? That's one of those. I mean, it's always a challenge whenever you're sort of like every sort of game can kind of have a different approach as to the recording process. And oftentimes, I don't know what the structure of the game and the gameplay and the proximity to which mission you just, you know, completed or accomplished. Is it going to be entirely linear? Is it going to be kind of up to the player? Is it kind of like a choose your own adventure book? Or is it going to be, you know, that you have to follow this linear, you know, storyline? And very often the recording process itself is broken up so many different times that you don't know. Sometimes what might feel like super repetitive to you feels that way simply because you're recording so many different versions of something that is going to be spread out throughout the game. And that one, I think, sort of in particular, some of the stuff that you're talking about was one of those moments where Kyle actually really wasn't comfortable with what he was doing. He didn't like it. In fact, there was a lot of things where, you know, after he would collect some money, he would radio back and basically say, you know, he felt like he was going to hell because he's, you know, he just roughed up an old man or threatened an old man.
I just,
you know,
played that two nights ago, and it's so weird. I'm talking to him. Go ahead.
What's
I'm
that?
Sorry.
Wow.
I said, it's so weird. I'm actually talking to you, and I heard you say that like 2 years ago.
Corey's geeking out right now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, hey, I'm going to hell. I just, you know, threatened an old man. It's like, and those are those moments that, like, you know, I think add a sort of more human quality to Kyle Crane, which has, you know, that, look, inherently, he's doing what he needs to do because he thinks he's trying to work for the greater good, but he feels gross about doing this stuff. He's got inner conflict for doing this. And in terms of, like, it's always interesting to see. Fans are always asking me, you know, do I play the games that I'm in? And I always say, of course, because rarely do I have even the slightest clue as to what the finished product is going to resemble or be. Because I will go in and record tons of lines, you know, in a 4-hour session, sometimes in a linear fashion, sometimes just, you know, all over the place. And I don't know what they're going to do with the performance. If I give them 3 or 4 different takes, which take are they going to plug into the character? I don't know. I don't get to see all that. And it's such a massively collaborative effort with so many people involved in really and truly completing a performance. That I can give a vocal performance, but that's 1/10 of what goes into making that character who that character is. I didn't design the aesthetic design of the character. I didn't create the world in which the character lives. I didn't do any of that stuff. And all those things define that character. So when I'm done with the recording session, even though I might have felt like, man, that was going to be like, that guy's voice is going to get so annoying because all he's doing is, you know, over and over again saying, like, you know, over here. But it's like you don't realize that where they're going to plant that stuff in the game or which, you know, performance they select. So as far as things getting repetitive, like, to me, it's almost all repetitive because sometimes I'm in a session where that's just what we're doing. We're covering all the different story and gameplay elements that might happen for the player. But whether or not it becomes repetitive for the player or not, that's beyond me. But that's beyond my control. And it's like, that to me is always the fascinating and really fun and exciting part of, you know, when a game comes out. I've gone to my own midnight releases for Assassin's Creed and just kind of stood in line and kind of chuckled to myself going like, yeah, this is kind of funny. I'm in line with fans of a series, you know, and I'm a fan of the series too, but I'm waiting to get my game at midnight because I want to play a game that I'm, you know, voicing the protagonist in. And here I am, you know, along with all the other fellow nerds and geeks, and here we are at midnight at a GameStop, and I'm, you know, waiting to get a copy of a game that I'm the voice in. Wow. Because I want to see what did we do, what did we come up with, you know, what did everybody create together? Because there's so many times that I just don't know, I don't get to see it and experience it until the rest of the fans do. Rarely have I ever, you know, gotten a copy like in advance of other of other fans or anything like that. So,
you were recently at SAC Anime a few months back, and we covered that event, and we were sat in on your panel, and I believe that was the first time you got together with the rest of the Assassins talking about Assassin's Creed. What was that like for you getting to actually meet some of the other ones, and you know, did you guys come to any collective realizations about the series?
I came to the realization that if I want to be involved in one of the next ones, it's gonna pay off if I move to Canada. It was funny because so many of them were Canadian, and obviously, you know, we got Ubisoft, and that's where they're based. I'm cracking a joke, it was neat. I always worry. It's kind of funny. I always worry, like, I'm such a goof, and I'm such a ham, and I'm such a, like, dork when it comes to, like, stupid jokes, and, you know, I have a juvenile sense of humor and whatnot, so it's like I tend to cut loose a lot, you know, on panels and things like that, and I definitely cut loose even when I'm in the booth, you know, try to keep things light and fun so that there's an energy to the performance when we do sort of get serious. And I always worry that I'm just going to ruin it for everybody in terms of, like, who the character is or that kind of thing, and I take the work that I do very seriously, and I take the characters very seriously, but I cannot take myself seriously at all. And so I tend to just be pretty self-deprecating and kind of try to deflect and cut up a lot. And so I always wonder, like, what it's like when people are like, yeah, but you were Ezio. You had a 3-game arc, you know, with this one character, and who is arguably, like, you know, well-liked by the fan base, and you're this 5'5" Caucasian guy that, like, you know, just cracks fart jokes and like sort of ruins the character for everyone. But beyond all that, it was a blast getting to meet the other actors, and we all kind of formed a nice bond and a friendship, and we've talked about trying to sort of replicate that at another convention someday if we can.
So, Roger, you've been Sonic, you've been Batman, you've been Ezio, the Renaissance Batman, is what he's called.
Again, I apologize. Kate, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I would just say, like, I've been Sonic, I've been Batman.
So you've been Sonic, you've been Batman, you've been Ezio, the Renaissance Batman. Who would you like to be? What is a big role in a big franchise you'd like to portray, a role you'd like to take on?
You said, who would I want to portray, like, in another franchise if I could?
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny because I've been asked that question in the past too, and the reality is that when I hear someone list off the things that I've already done, I look at it like, okay, well, that means the phone is never going to ring again because I've already done things that are beyond my wildest expectations. I can remember getting the role of Chris Redfield in Resident Evil 5, and that was arguably, like, one of my first big video game roles, and I, at the time, was just happy to have a gig, for sure. I was happy to be working, and I didn't realize how big the RE franchise was, and, I mean, I knew it, but I didn't realize how diehard and passionate the fan base was. That, to me, I was just like, that's cool. I've done it. I did it. I get to say that I did it. I accomplished that for myself, and then to have something like Batman and to have something like Ripslinger in Disney's Planes and, you know, being on cartoons, all these things, the notion of me continuing to get to do anything, I don't even care if it's, you know, that I get to be, you know, one of the background characters and something, it's all, like, such a stroke of good luck that to think that I get to choose something else or that I could go someplace when I've already done it for so many different types of projects and in so many different ways that I couldn't have imagined. It's next to impossible for me to think, oh, I want to be Nathan Drake. Yeah, I'll take that. No, I mean, that is so, that's Nolan, you know, it's like, and that's what he does. And it's amazing that we get any sort of a chance ever again. I really thought that I couldn't believe that they were going to go with me for Kyle Crane. It was like, okay, you sure? All right. You know, hey, thank you. Because I'm, you know, again, having come from playing something like Batman or even doing a Sonic the Hedgehog or so many different types of performances, you think, okay, well, I no hard feelings. If you guys want to go a different direction and go with somebody new or something different, like, that makes perfectly good sense to me. But, you know, I'm thrilled and honored to have the opportunity. So, you know, if that phone rings again, I'm just going to be like, I can't believe I get to portray insert character name here.
Yeah. Well, his name is Roger Craig Smith. The game he is in right now, you can hear him in Dying Light. The game is awesome. We talked about it earlier in the show. It's the one we're reviewing. You can follow him on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
At Roger Craig Smith, just R-O-G-E-R-C-R-A-I-G Smith.
Yeah, and you go to the man's IMDb, it's a list of improvement. I don't care what you say, sir, you are definitely in that top echelon of voice acting. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I humbly disagree, but thank you.
Well, I'm going to humbly disagree.
a lot of humbling going on.
There we go.
All right, that was Roger Craig Smith. What a stand-up guy. That guy is too humble. Too humble.
Yeah, humble bundle.
He's too humble bundle. During that whole interview, if you want to know where Aaron was, he was playing Crossy Roads again.
While I was asking questions as
if,
well.
If yeah. you check his Twitter, we actually have a picture of that.
Yeah, check his Twitter.
It's amazing, everybody. Go download it right now.
And
if you download it with the Aaron code, you get a free character.
When he wasn't playing Crossy Roads, he was watching Blade Runner.
Well, then, yeah, clearly if I was asleep.
So let's get on to our big storyline. The big story that I am proud to announce to the world is that Sony sells off Sony Online Entertainment. There you go.
Wow. That was very anticlimactic.
Expecting some outrage?
Yeah, where's the outrage?
Sony hasn't done anything with their Sony Online Entertainment.
H1Z1?
There's some big ones coming up.
There's some big ones.
Landmark?
Because that was that. Whenever I heard that Landmark and EverQuest Next,
Planet Sighted 2.
Whenever I heard the EverQuest Next was a Sony thing for the first time, I was like, "Oh crap!"
These are Aaron's friends. That's right.
This is going to be a PS4 then exclusive. It's not going to do anything else. PC, of course, but I didn't have a PC at the time. So now with this selling of Sony Online, there may be a possibility that it might sneak its way over to an Xbox platform.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they tweeted right afterwards, "I can't wait to make Xbox One games." So.
But I'll believe it when I see it type of thing. Because, I mean, they've said a lot of MMOs are supposed to come on consoles, and they just didn't. So, but, yeah, that's I don't know. H1Z1 has been doing very good
That's what came as the biggest surprise, because it seems like H1Z1's getting high marks and everyone really likes it.
I don't know about likes it.
Really?
It's pay to win. It is pay to win.
I did see, there was a breakdown of exactly how it's pay to win.
Yeah.
But what about Planet Sighted 2? That's a huge game, isn't it?
Why do you keep saying Planet Sighted?
Because that's how we say it in the hood.
Planet Side.
Planet Side.
That's it.
No, it's Planet Sided.
Wrong. He's in the wrong hood.
Planet Side 2, I think, has been doing decent on the PC. I don't know about the console yet, because I don't think it's actually...
No, I think it's like early.
Yeah, it's still early on the console. We'll see, though.
Sony Online Entertainment, the publisher behind DC Universe Online, Planet Sided 2, and EverQuest Next is under new ownership.
That's one thing with a retro... whatever, their old games, like DC Universe?
I don't know.
Give it to the Xbox, because it's on the PS3 and the PS4.
And it was I don't know, I remember for me personally it being like one of the things that made me be like, damn, I wish I had a PlayStation. It's because I really wanted to play that DC game.
First,
it was free, right?
Yeah. First MMO, I got my max level character on it, too.
With the change in ownership comes a new name, Daybreak Game Company, LLC. Company president John Smedley remains at the helm and has shared enthusiasm about the publisher's new multi-platform approach. Much like Jada said, "I can't wait to make Xbox games," he tweeted. And then I went to his Twitter and he was just going off answering a bunch of questions.
Did he answer, "Who the hell are you people?" Because, like, this is not a gaming company, and nobody knows who Schmedley is.
Nope.
So that would have been my first question. Who are... Like it's as if Ritz Crackers came out of nowhere and bought up Microsoft or something like that.
Wow.
Like, they came out of nowhere. Like, who are these people?
Like, well, we got this covered, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah.
The dude sending the tweets was the main guy at Sony Online.
Oh, okay.
He's just, you know, announcing the new name and stuff, and he said he can't wait to make multi-platform games.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's already on the table is coming out, and that there is a good possibility they will retrofit their older games to.
That's going to be pretty crazy. That's taken some stuff away from Sony, definitely.
Well,
if they go backwards and put some of their old stuff on there.
I don't know the circumstances, but when you hear how these top echelon these business people start talking to the press after something happens.
That's Corey's word of the day, by the way.
Echelon.
Echelon.
You can kind of get to feel of what happened or if they're salty or not. Like, I remember, what was the last big one? Oh, the like, or what they're trying to cover up. Like, in the Tomb Raider thing, when they decided it was going to be an Xbox exclusive, they were talking in a lot of loose terms. Like, we don't want to talk for the publisher. So you could kind of clearly tell that there might be something going on behind the scenes. That, you know, the purchase of Mojang for Microsoft, too. Kind of how some of the staff of Mojang was coming out saying, like,
I'm still waiting on that one.
You know, the only thing they've done with that property so far as I've seen, is that...
The 3D thing. So that's why I'm still waiting on what's their golden plan with that property. Like
Minecraft 2.
It has to be. Like, when that game comes out, expectations are going to be outstanding. And I don't know if they can live up to them.
We're going to go to 32-bit graphics for Minecraft 2.
Oh, my gosh.
2? I mean, because think about everything that's out now. They have games that are Minecraft-ish that look realistic. Better, yeah. So I'm like, where do you go?
Let's see. Sony has been struggling financially for some time. We've been reporting on that for a long time. The company has found success in gaming with the PS4, but big losses in its computer hardware and mobile divisions have led to a loss of more than $1.25 billion.
They have a mobile division?
Yeah, they have some. They have phones.
Yeah, I
remember. Sony Ericsson.
Mm-hmm. And they had games that were made specifically for it.
That was sarcasm, like that. Everybody.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
You would
that's
not be...
That's sultry deception.
Yeah.
There.
Oh,
So $1.25 billion in the last year. That's they're leaking. They're leaking like a faucet.
And that division, yeah.
I don't know. With losing that kind of money... And how bad they've been doing in other fields too. Like I don't even think I think they stopped making laptops.
The ones that were burning people's laps.
Vios are done.
Yeah, Vios are done. They're just shrinking, and you're a fool to believe that the PS4 can go another generation.
Listen up, Sony. I'm about to save you right now.
Sell to Disney.
Headphones. Go back to what you know.
Walkmans.
There you go.
That's it. Boom. I just saved the company.
Honestly,
you're welcome.
With Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm surprised that that's not going to be a more bigger push. I know they show the...
That retro one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
How many people are buying that tape cassette?
Not many. Not enough to make any kind of impact. We're not going back to tapes. The movie was good, but it wasn't that good.
Just wait till part two comes out, and then they'll...
And they got the mixtape too.
When they released the actual mixtape for the Guardians of the Galaxy, they actually did a special edition on a cassette tape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. And I remember
that went.
Yeah, but all right, whatever. I mean, that's it. That's their thing.
Hey, man, that's your thing. Yeah, that's what you're into.
Don't hate on it.
Don't hate on it. No, it's Sony. But I bold prediction time. Let's pull out the crystal balls, Aaron.
Gross.
Crystal balls.
They share them.
No, we don't.
Aaron and I share a pair of crystal balls. His is usually a little more clear than mine. Is there going to be a PS5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? That's a no-brainer.
I don't really think that's a question.
Yeah, though. that's literally a no-brainer.
$1.25 billion. I think the only thing good for PlayStation right now is the PS4, and that's not a money-making business.
How much did Nintendo lose on the Cube over...
On the GameCube? That was
different PlayStation. Times. And they had a thriving handheld market.
They did.
Yeah, different times. I don't think you can draw a correlation between the two.
See, the big thing is Sony is taking steps, you know, even with their Vita. They know their Vita is not doing as well as they'd hoped. That's why they released the PlayStation TV. The PlayStation TV is an amazing way for them to get Vita games in the hands of non-Vita owners.
But since we talked about that story, I rarely hear people talk about it.
The PlayStation TV?
Yeah.
Oh, I sell those at work all the time, left and right. And I have people come in, they buy the Vita TV just to play one or two Vita games.
Their next system is most likely going to be a really heavy stream type of thing.
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to be both consoles. Yeah. I think that's going to be the next wave.
So you won't see any real company just... heading out of the game until that streaming machine is up and going. Mm-hmm.
There was articles last year, because this isn't like they're just going broke. I mean, it's been going on for a long time. They already, I think they declared bankruptcy last year maybe, and there's like a 78% chance that they can go completely under in the next 2 years. Like that's figures from Forbes. And, you know, Forbes is wrong, and they just make predictions. But... like, that's a scary thought. And if there's one thing I have learned about the gaming industry is that they don't make money on the consoles.
No.
No.
The console making is a terrible business. Mm. It's the other things that come along with it.
The software.
It's the software. It's in the t-shirts. It's in the games and stuff. Yeah. The add-ins.
The apps and everything.
The subscription. And they've been hit with server issues. They've been synonymous for having security breaches. They can't take too much more negative things. They're being currently outsold by Microsoft since the price drop.
Price drop. So do that every time.
Yeah. You see Microsoft is a huge company that could afford to take that extra hit on those prices. I honestly don't know if there will be a PlayStation 5.
There will be.
Yeah. These companies are way too proud to bow out of these races. They're definitely going to be one. And it may tank, but there'll be a PlayStation 5.
Well, what are they telling you guys? What are they saying that the lifespan of this console is going to be?
Do they think 10 years?
Ten years, like all the rest.
And we don't even know if Sony's going to make it past 2 years. So I really, you heard it here first on Video Game Bang. There will not be a PlayStation 5.
So in 2017, when we're doing this, and they're fine. We're just gonna play this tape again, everybody.
Okay, and if I'm right,
make sure you save this like on your Facebook so it time hops.
And I want that kid who drew you the picture that says you predict things to
draw a picture
to burn your drawing.
Wow.
And make a new one of me.
Wow.
Saying the new king of the crystal balls.
That's terrible.
Crystal balls.
You don't think they're gonna be too? That's not a bold prediction. That's just a dumb one.
Yeah, that's just bad.
Plain outright dumb.
And if anything else, I mean, if they do, minimize and downsize a little bit, I mean, what they can always make a PS5 a little bit more streamlined, like you said, a little bit more, for streaming things, more like downloadable content rather
than
actual games.
It'll be a Steam
machine, exactly.
Yeah, come to think of it, it might not even be an outlandish idea to say that there won't be another Xbox. Just because of the way things might go with the Steam machine.
I think they'll be all Steam machines. Not like the Steam machine, but like...
The Xbox One's going to be running basically Windows 10, right?
Well,
they'll be Steam machines.
The consoles are already basically computers to begin with. So we're just getting... They're just blurring the lines as we get closer and closer new generations, they blur the lines.
Yeah.
No,
so
we don't.
So far from plastic. All right, that's all I know.
Terrible.
Did you guys watch the Netflix Daredevil thing?
I did the teaser and the trailer.
Are you excited, Aaron?
I'm excited to see what they can do. It's very early, so you're not really, and trailers really don't show anything. I think the last trailer that actually showed me something was like the Flash's trailer when they did that long like 3 or 5 minute trailer or whatever, that where it showed him like running backwards with the weather wizard or whatever from his hurricane. Like that's a full-blown, okay, I know what to expect. This one was more like a 1.5 minute thing where he's
Marvel
just,
does that a lot, though.
Yeah, and then he's
back of the Kingpin's head.
He's there's probably a rewind theater somewhere out there where they're going to be like, break down every little thing, but oh, that's so-and-so, and he's going to be playing this character, stuff that you missed. So I have to watch that to see if there's little Easter eggs.
As far as like cinematography, the darkness of it, you're excited?
I like that. I like that.
It's straight up more gothic than the last one was, thank God.
Yeah.
It looks more grittier. It looks like they're going to take a more serious approach to Daredevil and not just some kind of love story with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. And
I wonder how the actual suit's going to come out beyond the ninja suit.
I am actually interested in that. They didn't show anything like that in the trailer.
So. I thought they were going to like flash it at the end or something like that, but no, they kept it like, this is going backstory.
The approach to the trailer itself was pretty interesting as far as him, having to be confessing something to the priest. Mm-hmm. And
what I'm about to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty good angle.
Battleborn reconfirmed to arrive before March 31st, 2016.
Well, if you wanted Battleborn.
Not a surprise.
And another awesome game that we just got to wait way too long to get our hands on.
Yep.
Well, it means Gearbox, they're going to give us Borderlands. They're giving us Borderlands again. Or what, not for the next gen. So they're gonna bankroll money off of
that. I did see
that.
They're going to make a specifically next gen Borderlands.
I'm talking about the Handsome Jack collection. The Handsome collection. Have you seen that yet?
Yeah, we talked about the collector's edition, but I saw a news story today saying that they've already confirmed they're going to be making the next Borderlands exclusive to the new consoles.
Good. Well, that's what they need to do.
That's understandable. Yeah, I knew they were going to do that. Well, get away from that Borderlands Online game that they're doing in China.
In China? Yeah. Talk to me like I don't know. I host a podcast, Jada.
Wow.
I know everything. Ermac gets an official...
Except what a pterodactyl is.
Exactly.
I still don't believe that's a P.
You don't believe it's spelled with a P?
No.
Okay.
It's an internet hoax.
All right.
I'm going to go. What's that website? That fact-checking website?
How about just reality.com?
What is it?
I'm just saying, like, just that's what it is.
I'm going to Snopes.
Snopes.
I'm okay. Going to Snopes.
Let me check to see if this is an urban legend.
Ermac gets an official introduction for his Mortal Kombat X appearance. I didn't see it. How did it look?
He looks like Scarecrow.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was never really an Ermac fan.
Yeah.
Ermac. I can't even Oh, Ermac. He's the guy who can
levitate.
Yeah, levitate. Yeah. I love Ermac.
Yeah.
Sub-Zero fan.
You would.
Why? He's no Kenshi, but I like Ermac.
He's no Daredevil, you mean?
He's no Daredevil, yeah.
Because that's exactly Kenshi.
Exactly what he was, too. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, Ermac was kind of lame.
He was kind of like the in-betweeners between, you know, Sub-Zero, Scorpion.
He started off just one of those palette guys,
yep.
But well, purple or something.
And now they...
It was like a purple, yeah.
I thought Rain or what was that?
Rain.
Storm, the guy, was
yeah,
purple.
Yeah,
Rain
right.
Was purple.
Whatever yeah. happened to Rain?
I think Ermac was red.
Ermac
yeah,
may have been
Ermac
red.
Was
yes.
red.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
You're right. I host a podcast. Sons of Anarchy, The Prospect, mobile game now available.
So I watched somebody do a playthrough of this game because I'm a huge Sons of Anarchy fan.
An entire playthrough? You just watched it?
I didn't get to watch the whole, because it's only on iOS. I couldn't download it myself. But from what I saw, I freaking love the story. Like how they're doing the
continuation?
Story. No. Well, actually, from what I know, I have no idea. Because it doesn't take place in the, if you're familiar with the Sons of Anarchy show, it doesn't take place in like the main charter that the show follows. Takes place in an Oregon charter. So some of the characters ride up there from the main show. So you get to see like Tig. He rides up there and you get to like... And they have the actual guy who does...
That's the real voice?
Yeah, it's a real voice.
Oh, cool.
But I'm like, this is how you do a freaking show about, you know, or a game about a show. You put your character in the universe.
But it's not a TV show game.
But it's not a TV... What? No, I don't know. Nope.
Oh,
I wouldn't say
you're
it
joining
is.
My side of the battle?
No, it's not a TV
okay,
show
okay,
game.
Okay, okay, okay.
Because it's not the story of the
it's
TV show.
It's clearly a TV show game, but no. You're still just even denying your own points.
No. Because at first, whenever I was looking at the story, I thought it was one of the storylines, but it's not a storyline, so...
It's completely separate.
It's completely separate,
game.
Yeah.
It's like a TV show game.
Terrible.
The last thing, Man of Steel's ending caused one change in Superman. Can you wrap it up in like... Less than 30 seconds.
Nope, because it is very important to the comic book world.
Oh, is it really?
Yes. Whoever created this, I would like to shake that man's hand. He actually made Superman, in my opinion, that one notch better. And now he's at notch one.
Yeah.
He's basically...
Wait, you're putting him above Batman now?
No.
Notch
Batman.
One meaning like one out of like...
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, I thought you meant like the top notch.
He's still a terrible
okay.
character.
Superman, he gets a new ability.
Oh, we're going to have to talk about it on the next show. That's our time, everybody. Thank you so much. We're going to be playing some overtime extra interviews that we had with Roger Craig Smith. So stick around after the Let Me Bang Bro for Aaron, Eddie, Jada, and myself. Have a great week.
Penis.
Let me bang,
I
man.
Do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
Let me bang.
I let you bang.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Let you bang.
Now go fuck yourselves.
You know, I didn't bring it up in the interview, but one of the things I geeked out most about from your, you know, body of work was Regular Show.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's a blast.
I love Regular Show. I'm the Nerd Reactor Regular Show guy. Every time a DVD comes out, they send it straight to me for the reviews and stuff, and of course, I just love them all. But how'd you get pulled into that? Because Thomas was a later character.
You know what? Thomas just kind of came about as a result of me having done so many different... sort of like, you know, random one-off episode characters for them. And at one point, I mean, like, Thomas was just sort of like, yeah, they were like, yeah, we want you to play this particular character. And so I was like, all right, I had gone in for so many different random characters. I just thought Thomas was like another random character. And then towards the end of that episode, as we're recording, they're like, you know, hey, I think you're going to fit in really well in the park. You know, the other characters are saying this. And I looked over at JG and I'm like, is he like, and they're like, yeah, he's going to be like the intern. He's going to be like a recurring character. He might not be in every episode, but, you know, he'd be in like a bunch of characters. You know, he'd be in like a bunch of episodes. And I was like, dude, thank you. Like, thank you so much. It was just, again, like total, you know, happy luck of the fact that, you know, JG got a chance to hear me and hear what I can do and kept throwing as many curveballs at me for different characters. And so it was just, again, sort of pure luck. I mean, so much of the industry is just, you know, you audition, and you hope you get the part, And if you get the part, then you go in and you do the job, and you're thankful that you got to work that day, and let's go audition some more. So it's kind of crazy when it does happen. You just go, man. And who would have thought that regular show was going to become the hit that it was? But it did, and then from there it opened up an opportunity for us to have a lot more episodes. But that show is, it's more fun than you can imagine.
I was going to ask, is it as fun to record as it is to? Because it just seems like from the little behind the scenes footage that's got to be one of the best teams to work for out there in animation right now.
It absolutely is. Even doing Captain America Disney XD on Marvel's Avengers Assemble. You know, that's a serious show. It has a moment of levity, but Captain America is kind of, you know, more the Boy Scout character. He doesn't do the comedic stuff that like Hawkeye does. But the cast records for that show, I always call it detention. I mean, it's the kids that got sent to detention all the time, because we just sit around in like a giant U-shape around all these microphones and record, you know, we record in linear fashion for that sort of thing, and it's like a giant radio play, but I'm sitting there with Fred Tatasciore, Travis Willingham, Laura Bailey, you know, all sorts of people. You know, Troy Baker, we've got, you know, David Kay, we've got all these names, Adrian Pastar, we're having a blast. We're working with Bumper Robinson, like all of us crack each other up, and the sessions are more fun. Like Fred and I left one today, and we just go, I don't know how we haven't all been fired, you know, many, many times over, because we have way too much fun trying to goof each other up, or, you know, trying to, like, you know, make fun of one another after a performance or that kind of thing. And it is every bit as fun as you would imagine it to be, and likely much, much more, because we are just all such goofballs.
Man, I hate you so much right now. As like, because, you know, the rest of podcasting, there's no money in it. So all of us in here have like all boring 9-to-5 jobs, and we just sit in there and dream about doing this full time. I get that feeling, but oh man. Does regular show, does that record all together, or do you record separately?
No, we do. Typically, we record all together. It just depends. I mean, we will do most episodes. Like, at the very least, they try to have Sam, who does the voice of Pops, Benson, and Muscle Man. And they'll have Sam, they'll have Bill, who's Rigby, they'll have JG, who's obviously Mordecai. And then from there, it's, you know, whether or not we get to record with Mark Hamill, which is always fun because, gee, he's been busy lately. Awesome. It's almost as if he was, like, out of the country shooting a film. Whether or not we get to work with Mark is always kind of up in the air, but we, you know, in the beginning, we were working with Mark all the time, and that was a blast. And, yeah, we were almost all animated shows try to record that way. It just depends on what they need out of what particular character. Sometimes I've gone in for other shows where you go in and you do like an incidental character. And so they'll have at the main cast record, they'll have all the regular actors there that go through, and they'll just have someone read in the lines for whatever character they're going to cast later. So sometimes you record in sort of like a modular fashion where it's like, it's broken up, but typically they want everyone to kind of share in the same energy. And with a show like Avengers Assemble, where you have so many different characters, it usually works out better to have everybody in the same room, because if Iron Man is saying something to Captain America and he's 10 feet away, but they're in the middle of a gunfight, I want to hear how Adrian's going to deliver his lines and at what projection level, and I'll try to match that so that it sounds like we're in the same room or on, you know, or experiencing the same thing, that kind of thing.
You try and sneak details out of Mark Hamill about Star Wars? Don't lie.
No, we knew. We knew. In fact, He paid me a great compliment where this was like months after Origins had come out. He said, hey, you know, you did a great job and congratulations. And he said, man, you take your NDAs really seriously. He said, you never once mentioned that you were doing Batman. And he said, wow. I had no idea that you were doing that. And I was laughing. And I was like, well, you know, we're all sitting here joking, trying to put two and two together about you being involved in Star Wars, because it's like suddenly Mark Hamill is gone for 3 months. And when he comes back, he's got this beard that's, you know, gargantuan, and he's lost all this weight. We're like, you're like, we know what you're up to, but we won't ask, you know.
Oh, man, that's got to be tempting. If there's lightsabers, blink.
But it's, you know, we get it. It's kind of, it's fun. If anything, it's just neat. I mean, hell, I get to work with Mark Hamill. It's like, if he doesn't want to tell me about Star Wars, that's fine, but it's also kind of fun going, I know that's what he's doing, because, come on, you know? It's like, if he wasn't, he'd be saying it right off the bat.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was being quiet and kind of cryptic about it, we were like, that's so cool.
You and Mark ever pretend to be Batman and Joker sometimes and just bust out with the voices?
No, you know what? I mean, even just now with that little like soundbite thing that I did for you guys, I hear and I just go, oh, my voice is hoarse and I don't sound anything like him, and you know, it's going to sound like crap over the phone. It's like, that role for me was one of those things where like, I don't in any way feel like I'm replacing anybody. I know that was never the intention, and it's not like I own that role. I can't say that I've done it for 20 years the way Kevin Conroy has, so I wasn't about to even act like, well, I did Batman, so, hey, Mark, what do you think about my Batman? It's like, no way. I mean, Mark's been the Joker for 20 years, and mm-hmm. Kevin's been Batman for 20 years, and that's a legacy that they've sort of created and cemented for themselves, and, you know, I'm just happy to have a job, and the fact that it got to be, you know, portraying Batman, even if it's just for an origin story, and if that's the only thing I ever get to do, I'm happy with that. It's like, I didn't want to take any, you know, to this day, I just still feel like, you know, those are shoes you cannot fill. And so it's why I got selected to do it is beyond me, because I look in the mirror and I don't see anybody that comes close to looking like Bruce Wayne or Batman. And I, you know, I'm this dorky dude who just thinks, man, you hit the jackpot of like rookie gigs, and a dream come true for a nerd. So just enjoy that. That's what it is. And whether or not it ever goes beyond that is, you know, is not up to you. So treat it with the same respect that you would anything else, and just be happy for that time. And
I think it's probably that attitude that's taken you so far and making you such a, because you're an awesome dude. Like even this, just talking to us afterwards, it's pretty cool. So, but
I'm serious, man. I really appreciate the compliment, but I'm just. Consider myself to be very, very fortunate. I have no idea how long this career, which I never would have thought would have turned into a career, can last or will last. And so everything to me is just like, it's all gravy. And yeah. I'm happy to just work any video game role or any cartoon character. I mean, just working and meeting new people and getting to have fun doing a job that you love. I've arguably 2013 was the biggest year I've ever had. And whether or not I get another year that's like that, to where I get to take my mom to a red carpet, you know, and an actual theatrical film premiere for Disney for planes, and I get to be this, you know, this bad guy in a Disney film, and then I go from that to Lego Marvel as Captain America, and Disney XD as Captain America, and then Sonic stuff, and then the year, you know, culminates in October with me portraying Batman. It was just like, this is nuts. I got to travel. I got to go to New York and London. And it's, you know, I'm just exceptionally thankful for everything that's happened. And the reality is that could be about as good as it ever gets. And yet I think back to where I was like 3 or 4 years prior to that. And I was still just happy, you know, being the voice of Pizza Hut. That to me was like, dude, I'm the voice of Pizza Hut. That's crazy. Little things like that. So, that's I can't believe I get to do what I get to do. So
safe to say you were a little more nervous taking the mantle of Batman for that little story arc from Conroy than you were taking Sonic from Jaleel White.
Yes and no. I mean the reality of any. I was talking to Fred Tatasciore about this. I was saying it's kind of a weird thing. I mean, I said, look, I'm happy just to have a gig wherever and whenever. And I said, you know, it's like, look, we just got out of Super Bowl. I mean, I would imagine if the game comes down to you winning the game and you're the kicker, do you want to be the kicker or do you want to be the guy who's holding the ball for the kicker? And the analogy being, look, if you kick it to the uprights and you win the game for everybody, that's awesome. If you miss, that's a terrible locker room situation later on. Yeah. It's really embarrassing. And video game roles can kind of be that way, where it was like, you know, I mean, Troy and I talked about getting Batman and Joker and kind of looking at each other and going like, dude, we booked these characters. Can you believe that? And then it was like, oh boy, you know, because we knew the legacies that had been laid down by both Mark and Kevin. And it's like, this could be received either really well or it could go really poorly. And because it's such a collaborative thing, you know, I might get to be the kicker, but it's like I'm relying on people who are holding the ball and, you know, like a lot of other things that enter into how a game is executed. And 9 times out of 10, we just don't know. I don't know what the finished version of a regular show performance is going to be like, because I don't know if they'll have changed the pacing of my delivery or if they'll have cut one of my lines or if, you know, if they used a take that I wasn't especially proud of. Or so all those things, you kind of bite your nail going, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't know what this is going to be like. I didn't know what Dying Light was going to be like. I didn't know how it was going to be received because the game had been delayed and we had had, you know, like, you know, different writers and the script was, you know, kind of all over the place at times for us to try to, you know, hammer down, you know, in terms of like a recording schedule. And, you know, you just go in and do what you can do and hope you do the best job that you can and kind of walk away from it and try not to think about it too much because it'll drive you crazy.
Are you the type that goes and searches the forums to see what people's opinion of you are, or do you just kind of stay away? Because the internet is dark, man. It's messed up. Even for little fish like us, we will occasionally go online. We got attacked once, and people are vicious out there. So for someone in the spotlight so much, do you try and avoid that as much as possible?
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, there's times, and I mean, I'm on Twitter, and every now and then, I love that mute and block button, because there's just people who are, you know, and I get it. I actually look forward to a time when there's less anonymity on the internet. I don't see why it's perfectly okay for people to, like, make threats and do stuff that's ridiculous and have no accountability for it because they could just create a fictitious email account, and it's like, you know, go ahead and find me.
Yeah.
But every now and then I like to see the dialogue that's going on. It was no different with the Sonic game, like you were asking. I mean, taking on Sonic the Hedgehog, I knew that there was a diehard, passionate fan base in Sonic fans, and they can be extremely picky and extremely finicky, and they can be polarizing with one another, and they can be, you know, chaotic and crazy. They can be all these things, and I get that it's like, look, that these are characters that these people maybe have grown up with or that they really, really enjoy, and the notion that someone's going to come in and change it is kind of like, oh, don't do that. You know, it's like kind of when they cast Ben Affleck and everybody's freaking out, and you're like, just wait, let him do it, and then make your determination as to whether or not. It's like, why freak out? But I get where people are coming from, because it's like they love something and they don't want it to be messed with. And yet it's, you know, it's the same thing for something like Sonic, which is a little more broad in its, you know, comedic sense and its performance, but it still is a character. It's an iconic video game character that basically is like a, you know, it's the flagship of Sega, or at least one of, and, you know, so to take on something like that and know that it's like, yep, I'm going to sound different than both Jaleel and Ryan Drummond and Jason. It's like, here we go. You know, let's see what they say. So I will. I'll get on, and I'll read from time to time. And I try to do it in small spurts so I don't get too depressed. But it's also nice to see compliments too. So you'll see some people who go after the trolls and go after the haters, because it was actually a really good lesson for me just in life. The easiest thing you can do is get angry. The easiest reaction you can have is anger. And the easiest thing to do. Is to go after someone who is brave enough to stick their neck out and say, hey, this is my art, or this is a picture I drew, or this is a song that I'm singing, or this is, you know, a screenplay that I've written, and you can just sit back in your chair and go, it sucks, you suck, you should, you know, kill yourself, you suck.
Most of the internet.
Yeah, that's the trolling, and it's like, you go, that's the easiest thing to do is tear down something that someone else has done, but if you don't have the courage to do it yourself, then you're being really just a giant coward. And so after a while you realize there's just nothing funnier than somebody who wants to go in and try to spoil the fun of everyone else. And you just go, well, that's your own private hell. You know, you're obviously a sad, angry person. And cause you can't be, the last thing you want to do, if you're in a good mood and you're pretty content with yourself, I don't think you're going around looking for like people to like piss off. You know, you're not trying to go after anybody. You're just kind of like, oh, you know what? Hey, good on you for giving it a shot. It takes, you know, it takes courage to do what you did. But, you know, and even in your mind, you're like, God, that was awful. But, yeah. But why tell them? Like, what does your opinion matter? I mean, you know, it doesn't carry any weight. It shouldn't with most people. What people think about you hopefully doesn't matter too much. Yeah. I read them, but I try to just sort of be like, I don't know.
Last thing. Yeah. I read that you're a drummer from somewhere. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The weirdest thing is making it into, like, certain articles. It's like, you know, like, drummer turned to voice actor. I'm like, okay, wait. I grew up loving the drums as a kid, and finally on, like, my 15th birthday, my mom rented me a drum kit for, like, a month and sort of self-taught, was in a band in high school, and I was a garage band drummer and started studying a little bit of it when I was in junior college and wanted to try to pursue percussion as a career, but I developed so many bad habits, and I was like a young adult at that point, and my instructor, who was like the percussionist for the Pacific Symphony Orchestra, was saying, look, you're going to have a really tough road ahead of you, because you're going to have to like reverse engineer the way you play drums and everything that you learn. Yeah. He's like, so if you're looking at this as a career, it's going to be a really difficult thing for you to do, because there are going to be people who are, they've grown up playing and playing the right way and learning the right way, and you have to.
What are you talking about, though, specifically? I've been playing for a long time. What was some of the like the bad habits you're talking about?
Just like the way you hold your sticks, the way you approach drumming, posture, like all those little things that you would inherently sort of not realize that if you're going to look at it from a standpoint of like I want to earn a living doing this, I would have had to kind of reverse engineer a lot of that and then start learning all the rudiments. The rudimentary, you know, stuff, paradiddles and all that kind of stuff. And it was like, I was doing that, but I was struggling with it because I had developed so many bad habits. And so to this day, I still own a drum kit, and I just like 2 years ago bought my do-all end-all fantasy drum kit, because I had never purchased a brand new drum set before, and I got a DW kit. And I just, it's like, to me, it was just like, okay, if I'm going to do this, this is something I'm going to hold on to forever, and it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be like a piece of furniture to me. It's just a beautiful thing that's in my little recording room, and that's where, like, I'll pop on the headphones, and for 25, 30 minutes a day, I'll just kind of mess around. But I'm not pursuing it anymore. I'm not in any bands or anything like that. It's just something I do literally just for me. But I did pursue it prior to stand-up, prior to college. I was in a band with
Roger. You're making a really great friend out of Corey right now.
Yeah, you got my favorite. Yeah, if I ended up,
you're his new favorite voice actor. So
I ended up with a Pacific by DW because it was in my price range. But it was like I played them side by side, and I still like it. What kind of cymbals? Please tell me Zildjian.
Oh, I'm Zildjian, yeah.
Yeah. Zildjian,
I think I'm doing, is it K custom or Z custom?
Oh, I want K so bad.
We got to request that K.
Well, dude, it was one of those things where it's like, coming off a year that I had had in 2013, I had declared like 2014 to be the year of me, and I was like, I'm going to do this for myself, and I'm gonna treat myself to a couple different things here and there, and I'm going to, you know, it's like, if it's something that I would want to do, I'm going to do it now, because who knows if I'll ever get a chance to do it again. And that was one of the big things that I wanted to do. I was like, I'm going to get a set of drums. I missed having that weird sort of creative outlet of just kind of sitting down, and as soon as you start just jamming, you're not thinking about anything other than, am I on rhythm? You know, do I want to teach myself this new thing? Or, you know, it's like, so it helps kind of clear the brain. And I was like, yeah, I haven't done that in a decade, you know, and I was like, I gotta invest in that. And it has made a big difference. It makes a difference to be able to just kind of, you pull the covers off the kit and just kind of jam out for 30 minutes and work up a sweat, and then you're kind of like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
I'm in a better mood.
You've sealed it. I'm probably more jealous of you for your career and your everything now than ever, than anybody. You just ruined it.
I'm not trying to rub it in. I'm just, yeah. And dude, believe me, like I said, hearing you guys like say the names of, you know, characters that done that kind of thing, and then to get to go like, yeah, it's nuts. I mean, all those things are all just, you know, I also know that it can all kind of come crashing to a halt, and, you know, you got to end up selling all that stuff off or something like that. Who knows? But hopefully it doesn't go that way. And I am very, very, very fortunate, been very lucky the way a lot of things have kind of fallen into place for me.
All right, man. Thank you so much for all your time and all your help. You know, I've left it recording just because we record everything in here. And
If you want to chop that stuff up and piece it into the interview, you can. That's fine.
Okay, cool, because you dropped some nuggets in there that were really awesome.
Cool.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and it'll be out tomorrow, and we'll tweet it to everybody, and we'll do also a little written article of some stuff on Nerd Reactor, and if you'd be down to come back on the show sometime, we wanted to do some, if we had more time, because this kind of all came on us last minute, we wanted to do some fun little bits, like a voice acting competition or something for you to judge, or would you be down to do something like that?
Yeah, sure, for sure. It might even be able to easier to do something like that over Skype if that works better, so I can hear a little bit better.
Yeah, the
phone
quality
I got too.
Yeah,
my phone sucks though. I always have this issue. It's like, and my cell phone's worse, so it's like this is the better of two options. But it's Skype sometimes makes it a little easier to hear.
Yeah, would it be better to go through the PR to get for something like that, or just Twitter? Or
yeah, for sure, always. Yeah, okay. It makes it so much easier because they coordinate with the agency that handles my scheduling, and it's like. Anytime I try to do anything outside of my agency, like even planning like personal things, I have to let them know at all times because they handle the schedule that fluctuates wildly sometimes throughout the day. So the PR firm will get together with the agency and they'll like lop out of time to do that sort of thing. So that's the best way to do it.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Roger.
Groovy. Thank you guys.
You're the man. Keep it up.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys, you as well. Keep going with the podcasting, man. I mean, you guys are at the forefront of, like, literally a technological revolution as to where people are going to be getting their entertainment. And I'm a huge fan of Adam Carolla's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, like he says, he built a pirate ship, and it's like, yeah, there's no, it's all his. So if you keep at it, and you never know, you find an audience, that audience starts to grow, you get sponsors involved, and pretty soon you guys are doing what you want to be doing, and it's not work because it's something you love doing.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're going to have Roger on every time doing all the promos for us.
I don't know about that. People are going to get bored of that for sure.
No, I doubt it. All right, man.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Yep, bye.
Right, have a good night. See ya.